Blog Talk Radio. try to get some things together. But it's just, it's been a wonderful day today. I'm going to say, I'm not going to complain. It was a beautiful, sunny and crispy kind of day. You know, had to handle some things and take care of stuff, and we made it happen. But today is a couple of things. So first I'm going to just say happy, happy Sisters Day to all my wonderful, amazing sisters. Yes, I only have one biological sister, but I have a whole mess and a slew of wonderful, beautiful sisters in my life, and I just give thanks for every single one of them. And I also thank my sister Natasha for reaching out to me and letting me know that today was happy, you know, Sisters Day. I was like, oh, and it, you know, we had to forward it to people and stuff. It was beautiful, but you know, it's just nice to reflect on positive things and to give thanks. You know, it's nice to stay in a state of thanksgiving and realize that, you know, we have a lot more going on for us than sometimes we think. But I am really excited because today marks the 100th episode of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. It is episode 100. I'm excited. You know, who would have thought that 4 years ago when okay, mute that other phone, honey.
Sorry.
It's okay, baby. It's amazing to me how, you know, time goes so fast and all of a sudden I'm up to episode 100. You know, several years ago we started this network and I was given the opportunity to present this show. So I'm just really excited. I'm like, wow, episode 100. Holla back. Ah, it's just nice. It feels good. Feels good. Okay. Peace and love to Sister Carla. I see you on the line, sis. I hope everything is wonderful and beautiful with you and your family. Thank you to everybody else who has joined in. Thank you to Hubby Lish for joining. You know, today is also supposed to be Columbus Day. I'm like, really? And then you have people that have made the move to try to change it to Indigenous Peoples Day. Now everybody's confused as to whether it's going to be Columbus Day or Thanksgiving Day, whether or not it's Indigenous Heritage Peoples Day. Nonetheless, you know, I'll give a super shout out to all of my beautiful Native American brothers and sisters. Aho! And, you know, it's just important for us to understand origins. We're going to talk a little bit about some origins this evening, okay? Before I move on to that, I want to say happy birthday still to all the fantastic Libras, all the air in the sun, in the house, everybody. Hey, happy birthday to the Libras. Happy birthday, Sister Dawn. Happy birthday to my beloved transition father. Happy birthday to Brother Tumba. Happy birthday to all the awesome Libras out there. You know, it's your time, so shine on, y'all. Y'all got shine. Let's see. Okay, so I'm going to start with good old Columbus. You know, because I've always thought it kind of interesting that, A, that is something that's celebrated. There's a comedic edge to it, even though it's horrendous and torturous and nasty. But they always want to say Columbus discovered America. No, he never got here. Okay, he didn't get here. Hi, he didn't get here. Peace, Sister Dawn, I think that's you. Peace, sis, peace. Thank you so much for joining in. Happy birthday. It's interesting that we celebrate the day or the birth date of a murderer. Yeah, and I'm being real. I get tired of these things. These are some of the things that, you know, I kind of wish could go away, because the fact that people still have these big festivals and they get all excited about him, and I'm just like, are we serious right now? What are we excited for? We're excited because the Spanish, who were not the sharpest knives in the drawer, decided to take a thief, make him the head of a fleet that would then sail on to the quote-unquote Americas and open up a whole new way for Europe to get over here and to trade and to all kind of stuff, whatever was supposed to happen with all of that, between Queen Isabella, Ferdinand, and Columbus. Mind you, I have got to remind you, Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand were teenagers at the time. I think she was 17 and he was 18, something to that effect. Again, not the sharpest knives in the drawer, and desperate to keep Spain from falling apart. Of course, this is around the era and time frame of the end of the Moorish Empire, and it's the Moors, yes, African, dark-skinned, highly melanated individuals who came from Africa into Europe around 1711 through the Straits of Gibraltar, where Morocco and Spain sort of kiss each other, just about kiss each other, before going into the Mediterranean Sea. And so these amazing individuals came into Europe, civilized, cleansed, developed, again, I say civilized, most of Europe, if not the whole of it, honestly. And I'm talking about Spain, France, Germany, you know, all those other countries as you move upward, Hungary, Vienna, Copenhagen, there's so many, there's too many. In any event, these African dark-skinned people came into Europe and civilized Europe. This is the time, 700s is at the time of the plague, I think the second one, and we brought in everything under the sun. We brought in bathing. Hi, how you doing? We brought in brushing your teeth. We brought in our amazing incenses and oils to make you smell better. Remember, European people as well, and I'm going to put the British into this a bit, they did not believe in bathing. And so they smelled, they stunk, they were wretched, they had fleas, they had ringworm, they had every kind of rash. Honey, they had it all, okay? Again, like I said before, this is where chickenpox and stuff comes from because they didn't corral their animals. And so it is we, the African, that taught them how to corral their animals and not to have their animals run all among the house inside with them. You know, if you're laying around and you're messing around and chicken poop, then and you don't bathe and you don't brush your teeth and you don't wash your hands or scrub your fingernails or anything that deals with hygiene, yeah, you're going to have develop chicken pox, which is also for a form of herpes. If so, you really understand where I'm coming from. Nonetheless, the Spanish were desperate, and so they wanted to make sure that their empire stood strong. And so by helping Columbus come across the ocean in, I believe, the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria, they were able to try to, you know, expand their territory, you know, big themselves up, if you will. Nonetheless, he never got to America. He got to where we now call Haiti, Haiti, and the Dominican Republic. Excuse me. At that time, they named the island Hispaniola, the whole island. So he found himself there and other regions of the Caribbean, but he never got to America. He didn't even get to Florida. I need that to be very clear. And mind you, the things that he and his men did when they arrived to these beautiful, wonderful shores with amazing, beautiful, brownish, reddish skin complexioned people who had their own language, who had their own civilization, who had everything that they needed, their own faith, their everything. And these people wind up getting raped, sodomized, killed, kidnapped, taken as sex slaves, all kind of things. All kind of things. If you ever get the opportunity to read the papers written by Sanudo, Sanudo was one of the priests that was on the mission with Columbus, and he documented everything. Everything? Everything. They were brutal. They brought disease and all kind of pestilence into the Caribbean. I need to understand what the hell we're really celebrating. The man was a pedophile and a pederast, meaning that he liked little boys and little girls. And his nasty, unclean self would force himself upon whoever he wanted to. He and his men. This happened for a series of years. This happened before the quote-unquote transatlantic slave trade. As a matter of fact, they actually brought back, quote-unquote, as souvenirs and presents, Caribbean people. Caribbean brothers and sisters, a few of us were kidnapped and taken back to Spain, where they were baptized, renamed Spanish names, and shown about as a real treasure. I'm not discounting that we're a treasure. Of course we are, but I don't believe that we need to be absconded and taken to different parts of the world and what have you because of whatever fetish and what have you other people have. So it's really interesting when we look into Christopher Columbus. Also, I need to let you understand and understand his real name is not Christopher Columbus. Again, more lies. His name was Cristobal Colon. He was actually half Jewish or what we would call Sephardim. He didn't care about anything except for money and power. Period. Hence the thuggery and the very banal and disgusting behavior. So what is it that we're celebrating? What do the Italians get themselves so riled up about and excited about every Columbus Day? Really? What are we celebrating? It's a bit much. And yet it goes on. And we don't even understand how our quote-unquote holidays, which were supposed to be holy days, a lot of them ain't holy at all. Now, it was interesting because, as you know, those of you who are avid listeners of this show, and I thank you for your support and participation, those of you who are aware of me speaking about different words in the English language and how not only was the English language one of the most difficult languages for anyone to learn, but it's also a language that is constructed in a way where the words mean bad things, death, suffering, things like that. And I think it's interesting because English is one of the last languages to come about. It's a mixture of Latin, Old Saxon English, Germanic, and something else. But when it comes down to the final word, if you will, it's really kind of foul and kind of freaky. And it was deep because there's a, let me try to get this rapper's name right because I don't want to get anybody's name incorrect. That's not nice. Give me a second. Give me a moment. Okay. So rapper B.O.B., B period, small O, period, big B, period, I don't really know who this youngster is. But in any event, he did a really good job on breaking down the English language and what we seem to do unwittingly and unknowingly. You know what I'm saying? Now, you do realize that, as I did before, it's full of curses and spells. This is why when we go to grade school, we learn to write in cursive and we learn how to spell. Let that marinate for a moment. As I mentioned a second ago, our holidays are supposed to be holy days, and they're really not. Some of them are kind of wicked, including the one we're supposed to be celebrating today, which is Columbus Day. Ain't nothing nice about it. Moving forward, when I say that we speak in a language of death and suffering, check this out and see if you really feel what I'm trying to say. So, and I got this from rapper B.O.B. Each morning during the weekdays, we awake and go to jobs to earn a living. Now, that doesn't sound like much to people. Some people be like, okay, yeah, that's what we do. That's what I'm doing. I'm grinding. You know what I'm saying? That's what people will get into. In any event, what we're really saying, and or what the translation is, and even the word translation is very interesting because trance, as in trance, you go into a trance, okay? And lation is Latin for local motion, meaning something that is in movement. So a moving trance, think of that for a hot minute. That's the translation breaks down to. Anyway, in the morning, morning, M-O-U-R-I-N-G, is a word that means like the pain and the harsh emotions that we go through when we lose a loved one. When we lose a loved one, we're crying and we're moaning, we're mourning. So when we wake up in the morning, it's like we're already mourning something or someone dead. At the top of the day, moving forward, I'm going to get to that in a minute. Okay. Then, during the weekdays, we awake. Okay, a wake is a funeral for a dead person. Okay, and then we have to be in a week, days, if you will, weekdaze, to earn a living. So we wake up in the morning, we're in mourning, we're at a wake for a dead person. All right, we're in a week days, obviously, because we're all constantly in mourning and at a wake for a dead person. In any event, we're in a week days, and then we go to earn a living. And an urn is a vessel or a vase that you put the ashes of a dead person into. That's what an urn is. U-R-N, not E-A-R-N. But we say E-A-R-N in order to make money. What's deep is that the word job, I never liked the word job, actually. I never really liked that word. I really preferred, you know, I'm going to the office. Because wherever I worked, generally, unless I worked in retail or at a restaurant or something, I was usually in a professional position. So it wasn't really that I had a job because I was on salary and I was doing big things. So the word job to me always like equated to, no offense, but somebody that worked in McDonald's. No offense, but I'm just saying that's what a job is to me. In any event, I never really liked the word. And then when I found out that the word job is Hebrew for persecution, I'm going to say this again. The word job is Hebrew for persecution. So as we move through these weekdays during the week, we are waiting to get to what? The weekend. What is the weekend? We're getting the weekend of the deal, and we are also physically, emotionally, and spiritually weekend. We are weakened. We are not that strong. So even when I had spoken before about the word mortgage, people get excited when they own a house and they get a mortgage. But mort means dead. And gage means security or surety or bond. So it's a death bond. How about that? You don't work your tail off. You didn't raise your credit and got yourself together. Okay, you got your money right. Now you're trying to go buy a house. You get a death note. Fierce. That's fierce. So I know we're using the words that we have to use in the English language, and we do have a lot of different words that we could also use. But at the same time, like, I'm not one to say good morning. I don't like to say good morning. I say grand rising. And if people don't understand what I mean, then I explain it. But I'd like to say grand rising instead of good morning, because there's nothing really that good about morning. Morning ain't fun. And I'm not talking about the early part of the daytime. I'm talking about M-O-U-R-I-N-G. And that is what this language is based on. It's like it's based on death. It's based on negativity. And so as we are moving into higher dimensions and we're moving faster and faster, truly, toward the fifth dimension, and I spoke about this a little bit last week as well, because we really have forgotten why we're here. We've forgotten what we're doing. We've forgotten our assignment. We've forgotten how we're supposed to treat ourselves and each other. We've forgotten a lot. And there's another narrative that has control over most things that we operate in. As Dr. Francis Cress Welsing would say, all areas of people activity. It's not just racism that's there. There's evil and wickedness that's there. And it is taking over and permeating through all the things that we experience. Many, I should say, not all, many of the things that we experience. I said this before, they're trying to make hell very fashionable. They're trying to make the devil sexy and awesome and exciting. They're trying to make people feel more comfortable with hell, damnation, wickedness, being bad. And we have to be aware and, like, poke our heads up above the fog and look around and really see what's going on. Because if we don't, we're really going to be in a lot of trouble. So today is also World Mental Health Day. I found that to be rather interesting, because what I can see clearly is that the world is nuts. The world is going crazy. A lot of that has to do with the agenda I just mentioned. But it seems as if, to me, this is my own personal view, if you will. It's like nobody knows how to control their feelings and emotions. Nobody understands the processes of the body. People are ignorant to the power of the mind, mind dynamics, how you can program a mind, how you can program someone's brain, what the different things that you can really do to manipulate people, especially if they are completely unaware of it. Especially if it's hiding in entertainment. And you've got all these different shows out that a lot of them aren't saying much of anything. They're really turning that which shouldn't be funny into funny. But what I'm seeing mainly is that there's a serious departure from goodness and love. Everything is about drama. Everything is like every few seconds, it's always images and explosions and people getting shot and dying or drowning or whatever. It's just too much. It's too much. And so with it being World Mental Health Day, when I feel like every day should be World Mental Health Day, we all need to be focusing on our mental health every day. I mean, you're listening to someone who takes time out to meditate and be quiet, and I enjoy it. And I can receive information, and I can see things, and I can experience things, and I can see loved ones and get information. There's a lot that can happen, and I enjoy it so much. It's such an integral part of my life. And I don't care who understands it, who doesn't get it, who wants it. I don't care. I know what I'm doing. I know what I need to be doing. And as I meditate and give love and give light and positive energy to the universe and to everyone everywhere, not just my family, but to everybody everywhere, to all beings of light, to all other fellow beings of light, because we down here trying to get it done. But it's interesting to me. I'm like, wow, World Mental Health Day, you know, and unfortunately, you know, they found a way to make a pill for everything under the sun. All you see when you do watch regular television, if you're watching the news, you know, all you see is a pharmaceutical commercial, right? And all the time, pharmaceutical commercial, lawyer commercial, and food. Then during daytime television hours, you get more laundry detergent and better ways to wash your dishes. But ultimately, it's drugs, 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 drugs. And then they wanted to state that, and I watched this earlier on GMA3. So what was interesting was that they want to say how trauma has disproportionately affected youth of color. And I'm like, really? We went there with it. They talked about everything from post-COVID and what people went through during the lockdown and the emotional status of teenagers and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, yo, real talk? It wasn't that long. Number two, I think a lot more of it has to do with the fact that most African-American children, Afro-Caribbean children, even African Native American children, don't get enough history and reflection on their own culture. And if they do, we don't look too good in it. The propaganda around being any of those cultures that I just mentioned is not positive. Even though the world has stole everything from us everywhere in every kind of way, we are supposed to be the lowest human on the totem pole. We're supposed to be the disenfranchised, confused, sickly. And I know that, you know, that does apply in some of our lifetime, in some of our lifestyles. I know that. But at the same time, I'm going back to knowledge of self because, and I'm going to use myself as an example. And some people say, you can't use yourself. I feel like I can because I grew up in a household where my culture was everything. It didn't make a difference if I stepped out the door and went to all white schools with a whole bunch of white children everywhere, Jewish, Italian, everybody, Greek, everybody, but not enough of me. No matter what, when I stepped my toes back in the door and I came home, I knew where I was and I knew who I was. And who I was went with me everywhere I went. I didn't not become black just because I was around a bunch of white kids. In some instances, I think I might have become quote-unquote blacker, quote-unquote. Because I knew who I was and I was proud of it. I loved my heritage. I knew who we were as kings and queens and all of the different empires and all of the dynasties and pre-dynasties and all the stuff. I was like, yo, I was definitely high on some us by the time I was like 5, 6 years old. So as I go into school, as I go into the quote-unquote educational system of America, I have a different set of values. I have a different way of looking at myself, and I definitely have a different way of looking at other people. I wasn't mean to white children, even though I knew their origins were not as plentiful, bountiful, and abundant as mine, but I let that hold me. And even as I became a young woman, and I wasn't a saint, and I didn't make the best choices sometimes, and so I did deal with a lot of pain. I did deal with a lot of internal struggle. But at the same time, my culture is what kept me from jumping off ledges and slitting wrists, real talk. Knowing that I had this legacy, not just of my immediate family, because y'all ain't never heard about them. I'm just saying ultimately our culture of who we are. Having an indigenous grandmother from Jamaica who is Arawak, having this amazing grandfather who was like 6'7" in his heyday, who could pick my sister and I up at the same time, and the fact that he traveled the world, and he was born in Dominican Republic, but his mother was from the island of Saba. The clothes that my grandmothers used to be able to make, and how my mother would take me to museums and show me kente cloth and mud cloth and all these different exhibits with King Tut and the crown jewels of Kemet, and that was overwhelming. That was way more overwhelming for me than going to England when I was 6 and going to Buckingham Palace and the Parliament and going to all the museums and seeing all the statues of all their kings and queens and all these people, what have you. And I knew that I wasn't looking at something I should be envious of. As a matter of fact, I knew that what I was looking at had been stolen and learned from my people. So I didn't feel small. I didn't feel less than. I never felt that way in any environment because I knew who I was. And I'm grateful, and I know that I'm very fortunate to have had that. You know, my mother was a Afro studies professor. You know, the books that I learned from as a young girl was so empowering. I mean, when you read about the Songhai Empire, when you read about the Mali Empire, which is the story of Sundiata, which is the Lion King, which Disney stole the whole story from, you know, when you learn about Mansa Musa and you learn about Timbuktu and the university and of Sankare and all these things, when you learn about these things at an early age, yeah, it gives you a little puff in your chest. It gives you a couple of more inches to stand up to because you know you're the creators of civilization on this planet. You know that you've got gilded thrones of gold and some of them are in the shape of cheetahs or leopards. And I mean, the things that we've been able to achieve as well as invent, especially during a time when we were enslaved here in this country as a people, when racism began to flourish and we didn't have rights and all these things. And we still created fantastic things and delicious cuisine and amazing fashion and artwork and all these things. Music, Lord have mercy, please, music, really? So I have nothing to feel shameful of. I know how amazing we are. And so whenever I've gone through mental challenges or emotional challenges, I just always plug myself into those dynasties and those kingdoms and queendoms and those moments of time where it's bigger than the Viola Davis movie, which is an amazing movie, The Woman King. This was common throughout Africa. This was common even here with us as natives here in this country. It's heavy. It's heavy. And the wild part, this is how I know that we don't slow down enough and think about things in depth. They always want to keep you moving and hustling because that way you can't really focus. And all you're trying to do is get that bag, make sure you pay that rent, keep your phone on, all these other little frivolous things. But in the bigger picture, it's interesting because when you do look at white people, quote unquote, who were the quote unquote contributors or supposedly some hot stuff, whether they got a bridge named after them or a city or a palace or whatever, and you go into the background of some of these individuals, and it's just heinous. It's just heinous. I'll use Cecil Rhodes as an example. Cecil Rhodes as in the Rhodes Scholar, okay, from Harvard and Yale and Princeton and all these other universities. You had Cecil Rhodes, I believe, also worked for Oppenheimer Diamonds and went into South Africa to extrapolate as many diamonds as possible, creating the onset of the whole blood diamond mess. And it is written that he would have young African males make 12, 13 years old, not that young and not that old, walking around the deserts and the mines with a tin can around their neck to put the diamonds in, and they were butt naked. They were absolutely naked, not a piece of clothing on them, just that tin can around their neck. And then if he favored one of them, then he would just sodomize them and throw them over the cliff. I'm not BSing. But yet and still, the Rhodes Scholarship and the whole title of being a Rhodes Scholar is named after this nasty person. Even Queen Elizabeth, who I talked about last week, she wasn't no saint. She used to use Asian children and children from like Indonesia and Thailand as footstools and put her feet on them. She was no saint. She was no wonderful, fabulous individual. Not at all. If you read even a piece of any type of memoir or any type of expose from the late Princess Diana on how she was treated by them, not good. Very nasty. Very disgusting. Not good. And I don't mean nasty as in a bad attitude. I mean just nasty as in, like, physically nasty. But yet everybody idolizes these people. It's very interesting to me. Even when I look at the Kardashians, I haven't watched a show in years. Because I was like, I got other things I need to do than be watching what other people are doing with their lives. Okay, whatever. And then as time goes by, all of y'all are like Venus flytraps for black men. Everybody except for Courtney, who for whatever reason loves herself a white boy. But like, really? Put a brother through hell, ruin his life, and keep on pushing. But that's a TV show. They got money over money over money. That's entertainment. Really? You know, I mean, as I said it before, but, and I used to tell this to my students when I was teaching back in the day, and even clients that I've had in terms of social work, if you don't know who you are, you're going to have a hard time. You may experience some real serious mental issues if you really don't know who you are. See, many other cultures, they know who they are. The Greeks know who they are. The Italians know who they are. Good, bad, and ugly, but they know who they are. Asians generally know who they are. Even some Hispanic and Latino peoples, yeah, they know who they are. Not some, a lot. They know who they are. But what has happened to us is a travesty. Then you change my narrative altogether. Bad enough, you jacked it up, but then you changed it up, you stole it. How about that? You know? And when you steal and suppress someone else's narrative in their existence, they become lost. So now when I do see, and I don't mean to be harsh, you know, forgive me, I'm not trying to sound harsh, but when I see a whole lot of weaves and stuff and I see dead hair, you know, dead skin and dead minds, you know, those are the people who seem to take over the image of who we're supposed to be. When, in essence and in the super big picture, we are original man and woman. We have created every person on this planet. You know, our children are not taught about their regal and noble heritage. They're not taught that. In general, in mass, they're not. Y'all go to church every Sunday and you still don't know who your black ass is. You could tell me everything in the world about Jesus, but you don't know nothing about yourself. And part of his message for you to know yourself, hello. Y'all be in church every week and don't even want to believe that Jesus was black like you. That's deep. And this weird puppeted false narrative of what black people are, black women with hair weaves down their behind like Barbie, you know what I'm saying, brothers just all tatted up, can't even see their real complexion because they're so tatted up. I'm like, really? They just let that's who they are. That's who black people are. That's who they are. Oh, this is who you are. This is who you are. That ain't who we are. Not in the big picture. And to top it off, our children and everybody else's children are taught that our descendants were enslaved people who were captured from Africa. And that's it. And I'm here to tell you, in the bigger picture, that's a damn lie. It's a lie. Millions of us were already here. I talk about this a lot, but if you're new to my show, hold on to it, feel it. Many, many of us were already here. Meaning we were living here on Turtle Island. Thousands and thousands and thousands of native tribes, clans, coast to coast, from sea to sea, north to south, east to west, honey. And that narrative isn't really given. So anybody who's got family in South Carolina, North Carolina, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, just want to believe that all of you were just the descendants of slaves and not that you were already here. And that is the narrative that has been ingrained into the brains, not just of black people. People worldwide about black people. That's the problem. Now, what's kind of interesting is that part of the new history curriculum that's being pushed out of Florida and Texas and a few other southern states and how they're changing the narrative, and they're trying to say that, oh, only 4% of the enslaved Africans came to America. The rest of them went to Brazil and South America and the Caribbean. So if only 4% came from Africa, who the hell else you have here? I know who you had. But I'm just saying, if you're stating that only 4% of enslaved Africans came to America, well, then who were the rest of the people? The answer to that question is us. The answer to that question is all of you who've got your roots in the South, in the Midwest, even in California, even all the way to Seattle, even to Washington State where Seattle is. Serious, y'all. The rest of the enslaved populace were Native American, dark-skinned Native American people. This is our land. The whole earth is our land because we've been here before everybody and we civilize every corner of this earth. But these are the things that have to get into the educated mind of our children and everybody else's children. Because if we don't know, then anybody can tell you anything about yourself and you might believe it. I know who we are. We're amazing. We're beautiful. We're strong. We're versatile. We can adapt and overcome. My grandmother used to say, it's amazing we're still here after all the stuff that's been done to us in so many different ways, and we're still here, and we're thriving, and we're flourishing. Yes, we are. But we have to know who we are. And if you're an adult and you don't know who you are, then I advise you to get some books and go on YouTube and look at some awesome lectures. And there's some fabulous and fantastic stuff out there. There's stuff out there by brothers and sisters who have long since transcended. And ooh, they made their mark when they were here. Dr. Amos Wilson, fire. Straight up. And he was modern. Dr. John Henry Clark was an older man. Dr. Ben Yohanan was an older man. But like Dr. Naeem Akbar, even Dr. Ishango Barashango, there's another brother, Mfundishi, M-F-U-N-D-I-S-H-I, Mfundishi, he is fierce. He's still alive. Dr. Kaba Kamene, like, I'm giving y'all some jewels. You can always, you know, download the episode and listen to it again and take some notes. But y'all know I always encourage you to have something to write on or something to dictate into when you're listening to this show, because I'm going to drop some jewels for you. So I'm just going to go back, like, okay, it's World Mental Health Day, and apparently black people just are suffering. When haven't we since 1510? But yet and still, when we know who we are, we can navigate a little bit better. We can hold on a little bit better. We can make it through a little bit better. When you know you've got something you can hold on to and it's real because it's in you, it's even important. It's a part of your ancestral heritage. Hold on to that. You would have absolutely no concept of the creator's creator, or God, as you may say. The world would have no concept of such an entity if it wasn't for us. Because we know who and what it is. We understand it. We understand that we are it, having a human experience. Some of us understand that we are gathering data and having these experiences for the creature's creator, as it wants to experience itself in all of its expressions. We are part of those expressions. That's why atheists kind of crack me up. I don't know if I've ever touched on this before. But atheists kind of bug me out because I'm like, okay, you're either oblivious or you're stupider than a bag of rocks, because how could you just believe and think that there was no other higher force of anything? How could you just be so condensed into such a two- and three-dimensional mindset where you just can't fathom a force of creation when you see a seed become a tree, when you see sperm and an ovum become a person? I don't know what level of ignorance that is. When I see things become, even a bird coming out of an egg and learning how to fly, you know, sea turtles laying their eggs at beaches and the little baby turtles hatching and rushing to the ocean. And come on, man. You can't see creation in that? You can't see creation in the seasons? We're moving in, you know, through autumn right now. The leaves are changing color. Oh, it's so pretty, so pretty. It's actually death happening, but it's okay because we've got to have a regeneration for springtime, right? Things go to sleep. So the trees shed their leaves. They turn these beautiful colors, and they shed all their leaves, and they shut it down for several months. And then we get cold and snow and all of that, la, 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 whatever. But within that time, you also have animals that are hibernating. They're resting. Then they burst forth in springtime when the weather gets warmer, the trees begin to bud, flowers are beginning to bloom. The essence of creation is in our face at all times. So I can't be an atheist. I don't know how to do that because I feel like, and I see the infinite possibilities of creation. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, I don't mean to sound corny. I just feel like so much of our society is just moving away from what is important and what is necessary. And that's a little unnerving. But I do know in the bigger picture, a lot of us are going to make it. We'll be all right. You know, we're all here learning. We're in this journey together, and we're learning in our individuated bodies. We're having individuated experiences. Sometimes we're having experiences with each other. But we're all learning and we're growing. We're trying to get this together. And I just want to remind you that you're unique and divine and special in your own way. You're here for a serious reason and for great purpose. And I hope that you have found your way and that you know what your purpose is. Or at least if you're meeting part of your purpose. All of us are here to grow and to become better entities, to be the best versions of ourselves that we can possibly be. If we come together and we create something together, okay, great. If you do something on your own, wonderful. But having to maintain vibrations of love and joy and peace and thanksgiving can become difficult for those who cannot see. And I understand that. For those who cannot see, and I don't mean blind people, I mean people who don't have the spiritual wherewithal to truly be able to see how much control they have over their own lives, how much they are creating their lives, how much they are so many things in one. They're the producer, the director, the star, the head participant in their life experience, even though they may interact with others. Unto themselves, they are still that vehicle of light, We are amazing entities. We have light within us. There's a force inside of us. That's why when you breathe into your hand, it's hot. You don't breathe cool air. If you put your hand to your face right now, open your mouth and breathe into the palm of your hand. It's quite warm. There's a light inside of us. And it doesn't really go out. It may leave the body, but it's forever. It is our soul. We are an amazing, beautiful, beautiful entity of light. And we are constructed, you know, by these atoms and molecules to look like different members of our family and different genetic traits from different parents and such. But in that light doesn't have that. That light is just that light. Your soul is your soul. Things are happening to you. You are engaging in experiences. But at the same time, you are this light. And this light is a piece of the whole. So even me talking to you right now, I'm not only talking to myself. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to whoever can hear me. And whoever might be around you that can also hear me. But I'm also talking to myself. I'm also talking to the creature's creator. We are in constant communication with that energy force. We cannot not be. We can't be. We are in constant communication with that energy source. Even those who feel as if they've fallen away from quote-unquote God, you might have fallen away, but the universe is right there. You cannot be apart from it. You're always one with it. Whether you're doing good stuff, bad stuff, whatever, you're always one with it. Everything that we do, it too experiences. So it's not an energy that waves magic wands or that wants to throw you about and turn your life into some tumultuous experience. That's not what that is. You're doing all that on your own. And that might seem difficult for some to really understand, but that is what's happening. As I even teach my little students these days, I'm like, you get what you give. If you don't give love and send love to people, whether you're doing it directly as in a conversation or a phone call or whatever, even if you're just putting that energy out there, if you're putting the energy out there, love is love. The universe will take it. The universe will understand that that's what that is. And so, you know, I'm not trying to make it sound like, yeah, welcome to the corny hour. No, I'm being really, really real about this because we've gotten away from what's important. And the more we focus on stuff that has no real relevance on your life, meaning that it doesn't seek to better it. Now, I know to some people, I definitely do seem a little corny. That's okay. I'm cool with it because I know that the things that I'm into, and because I like to learn, I like to always learn. Even if I'm watching HGTV, I'm learning. I want to learn about flipping houses and decorating and redecorating and remodeling and all these types of things. I used to do it anyway. So it's something that I like to learn from. And I am more of a learner than a voyeur. I don't really like to just look. I like to learn. But I also like to love. I love to love, actually. And I just mean just sending positive energy to people and to plants and to animals and to whomever, wherever. There are some of us that do this in various ways. And then there's some of us who just do it directly. And when I say directly, I mean just if I look outside, if I look at a star, if I look at the moon, or I look at the trees, you know, and I give thanks to the trees and I say hello, greetings to the trees, peace and light to the trees. Thank you for being here. Thank you for giving me your carbon dioxide. I'm going to give you some more oxygen so you can help me survive. Real talk. Or the other way I should say, thank you for giving me your oxygen as I give you my carbon dioxide. You know, I'll thank a butterfly for flying by me. Like, it was beautiful. Thank you for coming by me. You know, we are moving into the fifth dimension, family. It is not a game, a joke, or a drill. It is real. And by getting connected to the universal creature's creator in terms of love, getting connected to other human beings with a loving vibration, and mainly by getting connected with yourself. And I hope y'all heard me on that last one. By getting connected to yourself, who you really are, what you're about, what you may or may not stand for. Some of us know ourselves very, very well, and some people have no idea. You hear people doing stuff talking about, I never thought I could do something like that. Okay, you didn't think enough about yourself, what you can do, what you can't do, what you will do, what you won't do, what you contemplate, what you absolutely won't do. You know, I'm going to say it always again and again and again, but knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And we do have it. And the more we know, the more we have, honestly. Our wealth can be material, but emotional, spiritual, and mental wealth, priceless. Priceless. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, when we are in tune with certain things, and what's interesting is that when people do put their minds to certain things, you can achieve anything. You can achieve anything. That's heavy when you really put your mind to it. Yes, and I talk about this often because I want us to realize that that power that we have is very, very real. It's very, very real. We're doing it all the time anyway. So I'm like, okay, well, how about we get cognizant of it and use it in greater and better ways? Not just to benefit ourselves, but to benefit others as well. It's deep. My husband and I were talking the other day about music. And we talk about music often. And we were talking about Stevie Wonder. And we were just talking about how amazing it is that he could play so many instruments, not only just because he was sightless, but because, period, he could play all these different instruments, drums and keyboards and synthesizers and bass, and he could play all these things. He was beyond musical genius. I honestly believe that if he was white the way our society is today, if he was white, he'd be some type of god in their world, honestly, because he came from extremely humble beginnings, but the music that the man has been able to create is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And it's not as if he went to a whole bunch of schools and stuff. He couldn't even see, charts and stuff like that. But yet and still, his determination and his will led him to become one of the world's most prolific and amazing musicians ever. My husband is way more than just a DJ, because he's a sound man as well, and he has different component systems that he's created, excuse me, based on the different sounds that they put out, because different speakers and different systems, different mixers, they all have a different sound, even though, yeah, they do put out volume, they put out a sound, but the sound is different. The quality of the sound is different in different mixers. The quality of the sound is unique, if you will, to the components that are creating it. And so, although he did not go to audio school or, you know, Juilliard or, you know, any other technical institute or anything, he has become a very amazingly successful sound man. I mean, yeah, he's a dope DJ, that's for sure. But the fact that he can make his own speaker wires, and he'll buy or find an old mixer and make it work, and it sounds amazing. And most of them are analog, which is, you know, the best, because digital is whack as hell. But ultimately speaking, he's been able to become a sound master and perfecting these different systems. And when I say systems, I mean systems. I'm trying not to tell you everything we have, but our biggest system is the JBL 700 series system. That system is amazing, knocks the wheels off of wherever you are. It throws sound clearly and beautifully for quite a bit of space, and and it's just, it sounds, it's dope, okay? So we had that sound system out. We call that one the Beast. We had that out at a big outdoor gathering that we did at a place called Mad Apples in East Charlottesburg. And the Beast was out, sounding amazing, sounding absolutely fantastic. I'm trying to remember whether or not he had it with the Rain Mixer. I think he had it with the Rain Mixer. But we also have another system. We have a Harbinger system. And we have a Bozak mixer. We've got the Lanzang mixer. We have Custom. We have all these different mixers that he'll put together as a component with the Harbingers that we have. And, I mean, it just sounds so beautiful. It sounds so perfect. You had every little sound. Not like digital where you get compression and it's a little muffled and it's just not as clear and pretty as it could be. No, it's clear, it is clean, and it is pretty. And I will always remark about that and the fact that he put that system together, he put the B system together, and he's got all these other mixes that he knows how to incorporate them into whatever system he wants to use and just make it sound like butter. I mean, that is internal genius. You know, his son is very similar. His oldest son can play drums, play keyboard, play bass. He's bad. And he taught himself everything. So I'm using these examples because these are the things that we can do when we put our minds to stuff. Even myself, to a certain extent, I tell everybody, you know, I may walk a little interesting these days, but I've been dancing since I was 3 years old. And I mean, when I would come home from school, almost every single day, come home from school, do my homework, and then practice dance and singing and acting. Practice dance and singing and acting. Every day. Especially in the wintertime when it wasn't nice outside. I'd be dancing up a storm. I practiced my behind off so I would be fierce. And I was. And then I made a harder turn into singing and made that happen. You know, I wrote songs. I have songs out. I wrote an album. I paint even. I do whatever it is that I feel like doing if it comes through me. We have this inside of us, many of us. You can just think of something that you know you really want to do and put your energy towards. The universe always meets you more than halfway. I remember when I would memorize a song, and when I would first hear it, I'd be like, wow, this is tough. I don't know if I can get this one. This is a lot. And I would always memorize that sucker. And I'm talking about fierce, heavy, jazz songs. Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, Scatting and stuff. Chaka Khan and Patty Austin and, like I said, Stevie Wonder. You can't forget Stevie. You know, MFSB band, full orchestra, Kool and the Gang, even some Cameo. I liked songs that were seemingly complicated, that they had something to sink your teeth into. Wasn't Mo Mary Had a Little Lamb? It was real. It was deep. I loved it. I still do it to this day. I hear a song that I just really deep. Josh Milan from Blaze put a song out called Act 2 and Act 4. Oh, my God. Woo! Memorize that, though. Got it. You know, even Al Jarreau back in the day, you know, memorizing his albums and stuff, because I really appreciated artistry, and I knew that I was going to be an artist, and I knew that if I practiced, that I would be good at what I did. So now that I'm on my fifth passport, I've been all over the world. I've sung for kings and queens. I've met prize-fighting boxers. I've all kind of stuff. It's been amazing. And I'm grateful because it went the way I really wanted it to go. And I knew that the force of the universe was with me everywhere I went. I knew that the love of my parents was with me everywhere I went. Even if I was on the plane by myself in some instances, flying to a foreign country, I knew I was all right. I knew I was going to be okay. I just want us to really tap into the greater aspects of who and what we really are. We're so amazing and beautiful and brilliant. You know, we get lost when we don't know that. We get lost when we fail to do creative things or try to make something or do something. I remember when I looked at Russell Simmons, his brother, of course, Reverend Run, and their older brother, I think Donnie Simmons, I think that's his name. All three of them were very successful men, or are very successful men. But the older brother, maybe it's not Donnie. I'm just terrible. His name ain't coming to me right now. But anyway, he's an artist. Painting, drawing, sketching, all kind of stuff. He's an artist. He's amazing. Danny Simmons. That's his name. Okay? Amazing. Amazing. He wasn't like, I'm going to become a rapper. I'm going to be in the industry. No. He was like, I'm going to paint. Indeed, sister, thank you, love. Yes, when we do all that we are capable of, we will amaze ourselves. I'm telling you, thank you, Dawn. Yes, we do. We are amazing. I think that a lot of it is just putting your time and energy into whatever it is you think you want to do and then block the other stuff out. You know, if I'm writing a song, generally, I don't have a TV on. I'm trying to write a song. When I'm writing my book, I'm like, okay, I'm concentrated. You know, if I'm making a dress, I'm concentrated. TV might be on. I can't really pay attention to it. I'm cutting. I'm measuring. I'm making sure that I'm sewing properly. The whole nine. Like, I'm creating. So I'm hoping that I'm encouraging some of you, if you're not already doing some things, if you're not already being creative, be creative. Make something. Write a poem. Paint something. Start a greeting card company. Think of something. Think of something and do it. It's a joy to make and create things. It feels so good. It's probably very healthy because it lends itself to you expressing yourself. Whatever it is, even if you're cooking something, you're the one doing it. Make a batch of cookies. Do something, though. And it helps when you do, because you're going to feel better. You know, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is a sin, seriously. Don't be ignorant. You know, don't bury yourself in insignificant things. Don't do that to yourself. You know, some of y'all need to come up off the social media a little bit. You know, I'm not always posting. I look at it sometimes, you know, just for a moment. I'm not on it for a really, really long time. Like I said, I like to learn more things, so I like to do more learning than being a voyeur, if you will. And I like to create. And sometimes I'm creating it in my mind before I actually create it in reality. But it'll happen. You know, but enjoy this process. We are in this thing, honey. We up in here together. Yes, we are. Let's enjoy it. Let's understand it. Okay? Let's reflect positive energy to each other as best as we can. Let's not let complete strangers turn us out. I hope y'all understood what I just said. Because what I am seeing, I'm seeing a lot of altercations and situations with strangers, complete strangers. How are you going to let a stranger turn you out like that? You in the parking lot, somebody take your parking space. Okay, they took your parking space. Like, move on, get another parking space. The universe always has something better for you someplace else in terms of if you can't get in it in that way. There's something else. Turn your head. But I think it's very, very unhealthy to get yourself so emotionally riled up over somebody that you just don't know. So think about that when you go into the world. Because there are minions. There are those djinns I talked about in terms of real negative energies where people will try to take you outside of your character, make you feel bad. Don't ever forget misery loves company. So it'll do what it can to make you a part of it. Okay? So remember to keep yourself light. And like I said, create something. Don't forget, create something. And be who you are. Learn who you are and be who you are. Try your best. Seriously. I know I was lucky. I'm grateful for my experience. And I'm going to continue to do my best to unlock others. But, you know, look around you and pay attention and, you know, go to a museum sometime. It's not a bad thing. It's full of stolen stuff, mostly our stuff, so go look at our stuff. You know, I remember when I was a very young girl and I never wanted to be anything other than what I was. I loved being a girl and I loved being a so-called black girl. I love that. I only wanted long hair. And I knew it was possible for me to have long hair, but I was going about it all wrong. You know, I would have my hair straightened every other weekend when I was a young girl. And then I didn't get my first perm until I went to college. But, you know, I was trying all these different ways to try to be cute and embrace myself. But I wasn't embracing my hair like I should have, you know. So when I finally decided that I didn't want straight hair in that way, I let my hair grow out. I loved it. It was awesome. And then I turned my long hair into locks. I locked my hair. Now, I had locks for over 25 years. And it was wonderful. And my locks grew past my knees. Talk about wanting long hair. Then it becomes, be careful what you wish for. Because my hair was so long, it started to get caught in everything. Caught in the door, caught in the refrigerator, caught in the drawer, sitting on it, all kind of stuff. Very interesting. But my hair grew past my knees. Now, although I had straightened my hair, had permed my hair, had braid extensions in my hair, I even had a trap ponytail, but I never would wear hair so long that it seemed completely unnatural. I mean, I had, you know, the braids and what have you, that's different. But I never wore a weave. I never had, like, full head hair, you know, of weave or anything. I just always wanted to look nice. So, but it wasn't until I grew my locks that my hair grew ridiculously. And that was me being my true self. It was wonderful. And what you'll find is the more you move towards embracing who you are and loving, respecting, and honoring your true self, other individuals, mainly those that don't look like you, will see it and it will become, how do I want to put it, a thing for them. You know, I was growing my locks out. I'm excited. I love my hair. I love myself, blah, 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 blah. You know, my hair is long. I feel proud with my crown. This is, you know, my cloud. I'm rocking. I didn't know that I was going to become an exhibit. I didn't really know that gajillions of white people would then attempt to touch my hair, sneak up on me, grab a lock. Like, and it was funny because I could feel them coming towards me before they could ever really cop a feel, okay? But I could feel them. I turn around real quick, and I see their hand getting ready to touch me. One time I was on tour with Les Nubians, and I'll never forget, I think it was Celia, the younger sister, stopped a man from, you know, getting ready to touch my hair. I'm not a puppy. That's a little rude. But I just thought it was interesting. I'm like, here I am, you know, just loving my full self, respecting my experience, you know, trusting and enjoying the journey. And then here comes somebody, like, completely about to just be disrespectful. I always thought that that was interesting. I'll never really forget that. That was always really interesting. It happened when I had an afro, too, when I was a younger girl. We had afros in my family, and I was like, I got an afro. And why do these people want to touch my hair? Always interesting. In any event, I just want everybody to really, really understand that a lot of what they think is happening and a lot of what they think life is really all about is not it. It's not what it's about. Life is not about power. Life is not about controlling other people. Life isn't about how many people you can sleep with. Life is not about how many people you may have slept with. Life is not about how much money you have. Life is not about how much money you don't have. Life is really about creating the reality that you desire, that you know will ensure your journey into you becoming the best you you can be. I hope you all got all of that. I keep trying to express that life is not about getting the bag. Please, love yourself enough to really understand that you are not here to make $1 zillion. Now, you may be here to make $1 zillion in order to help other people. That'd be awesome if you got that one. That's a nice memo to get. Because one thing that I have learned, sharing is caring. If you got $1 million and you can't donate a couple of thousand, something wrong with you. And I know we all pay taxes and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just saying, if you've been blessed to receive that much, then you should bestow and help others. That's for sure. So in some instances, those people who don't have money aren't as bad off as they seem, because if a millionaire has a lot of money, or someone who's got like hundreds of millions of dollars, or maybe they're a billionaire even, like an Elon Musk type of person, you know, Jeff Bezos, those individuals, and they're not giving away things, or establishing free housing for homeless people, or any of the above. If you're a billionaire and you're not giving, ooh, you're going to have a hard way to go, honey, when you come to the other side. Because you did not use your wealth for the betterment of humanity. And that is a bit of what we should be doing. So if we're blessed, then we need to bless others. And I don't even like the word bless anymore. I know you're like, what happened now? But look at the word blessed. Be less. I won't be less. I won't be more. I won't be less. In any event, if you have the opportunity to share, it's really interesting. All right, now Reverend Ron is blowing up my phone. Hold up. Wait a minute. Let me get a second. Apparently, I'm going to look into this, Rev. I'm going to look into it. Check this announcement to listen to President Biden. He's passing a bill, and President Barack Hussein Obama is trying to push it into law, HRW 40, the analysis of slavery, and giving every African-American 18 years or older $2 to $3 million each. That's interesting. I'm looking up something that the Reverend just sent me. I'm trying to, at least. Okay. All about reparations. I believe it's called hrw.org, and you can check that out and listen to it a bit, you know, check it out and get more information. I'm going to try to research more of it for you. But apparently, this is a bill in the House. I'll tell you this, though. I'll take $2 to $3 million. Yes, I would. I'll take it. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I'll take it and buy a house, and my husband and I can really delve into the businesses that we're establishing and make them all happen. And I will definitely donate some of that money to either a learning center for our children, or some of it would go into housing for those who were less fortunate. But honestly speaking, if every African American in this country got $3 million, that could be interesting. I'd like to see it. And I'm not talking about everybody running out and buying a Maserati. I'm saying get it together. We could buy some land. We could build our own neighborhoods and schools. And, oh, there'd be so many interesting things that we could do.
Yeah, the scariest thing is, who's eligible for it? Those you have a criminal record, or those you don't? Who's going to say you have to get to it? You've got to lean more into it and say that. Hopefully you're eligible.
I know y'all hear my husband on the phone. Just coming in and interrupting the show. But, gotta love Hubby Liz. Oh, God. He's right, though, because it would be interesting to see if the eligibility did not go all the way across the board, or that if it went the other way around and, you know, brother on death row is getting $3 million. You know, that'd be interesting. That'd be really, really interesting. But definitely look into hrw.org for more on this and see what would happen. The other scenario I see, of course, is civil war, because you got some white people in this country that do not want to see any of us come up in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So they need to keep that quiet if they tend to do it, because I don't know. You have a lot of angry white people, just angry for no reason as far as I'm concerned, but you got some angry, angry white folk that would probably rather see some of us dead before we got that money. Isn't it interesting how money can change people, how money can make people change their behavior and act strange and... Isn't that interesting? That's deep. But I know you're going to hear some white folk talk about, what about me? You know you are. You know you are. Oh, my God, this just took me all the way back to the $5 Indian. Took me all the way back. Mm-mm-mm. When the Dawes Rolls rolled out and, excuse me, they were trying to figure out, well, not trying to figure out. They knew who was really Native American, but they couldn't let everybody stay, so they marched a lot of the lighter-skinned Native Americans all the way to Oklahoma, and the dark-skinned Native Americans were renamed and relabeled as slaves and black, okay, black slaves. So you had white people at that time when people were getting their indigenous heritage, or they were sorting out indigenous heritage. You had white people that popped up like toast and basically became Indians for $5. That's where you get the term $5 Indian. Okay? Because they paid $5 to whoever was running the doors, rolls, and became Native American. And that's why you, when you do see some natives, especially when you start getting like into the Midwest and what have you, and they look white, oh yeah, because great grandpappy paid to be a Sioux Indian or a Shoney Indian. They paid for that. Okay, flat out. So don't get it twisted. Ah, very interesting. But yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about this HRW bill. It's interesting. HRW 40. Okay, HRW 40. Again, it goes into the analysis of slavery, and it wants to give every African-American who's 18 years or older $2 to $3 million apiece. What? Baby? Mm-mm. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Now, I've only found information on HRW.org. The other links that I have received, they won't open, but these do. So check it out. I'm going to cover more of it next week. Gives me some time to research and read about it. But one of the things it says is, history is within reach. Tell President Biden to establish a federal reparations commission now. The time for the United States to account for its legacy of enslavement is long overdue. This is true. And the bill is H.R. 40. All right? So checky that out. That could be something. You know, I'll take it if you give it to me. But I'm saying, and when that's the case, then we need to pool our money together so we could do things that are constructive.
That's right. What the Japanese
get? They still get paid.
What did the Jewish get?
They all get paid.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I rest my case.
Captain Video just came in again. Now my husband thinks my show is like Morning Jill. I love him to pieces. But he's right, because he came in, he cracks the door. He doesn't come all the way in. He cracks the door and he says, what did they give the Japanese? What did they give the Jewish people? And he's totally correct, because we have given reparations to Japan for the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We continue to give money to Japan. That, Japan ain't got no whole big homeless problem. I'll tell you that right now. Okay? Okay. Then, in terms of the Holocaust, they give money to the Jews. And we haven't gotten anything. We still ain't getting not a thing. And that's the thing. Like I said, all we got was let go. You know, we just got let loose. That's all we got. And we out here trying to make it happen. You know, and they talk about crime and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm like, you never have crime where people are living abundantly. It just is no such thing. Not that type of crime, at least. So they know this. They know what they're creating. They know exactly what they've done. So that would be really great if you want to give folks some reparations. Yes, it would be. And, you know, when you think about it in the scheme of things, $3 million is not a lot of money. But it's enough money to get something started. It's enough money to make some changes. It's enough money to buy a house, to go to school, to buy a car, to invest in a business. It's enough money for that. So we'll see about that lottery for us. That'll be nice. But as hubby also stated, you know, will this be available for individuals who are incarcerated or individuals who were incarcerated, felonies, or, you know, individuals who have serious criminal records? Will they be eligible for such funding? Mm-hmm. I tell you. Thank you, Reverend, for sending that to me. That's something else. You know, HR 40. And you can go to hrw.org. And I think HRW means Human Rights Watch. So check it out if you get an opportunity. He's back. Yes? Oh, and people who are on public assistance, will they get it? Yeah, like, they should be if they don't have... Listen, I don't know what the rules are, but I'm just saying they need it the most.
Right.
So,
you
know,
because, you know,
we'll see. So we'll see. We'll see what that all comes to, family. It definitely is something worth looking into. I know that we've had the whole reparations idea on the table for a while. Even the Moors, they have a case in the UN for reparations. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know, because, you know, we're continuing to watch January 6th committee trials, okay? We just saw some other stupidity at a Trump rally with people saying all kind of stuff out the side of their neck. What I do find interesting, just as real sidebar, fam, what I do find interesting is this whole Herschel Walker thing. Very, very deep. Very, 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 very deep. Okay, just in a nutshell, because I don't have a lot of time, but apparently, you know, he's running for senator, I think in Texas? Somewhere down there. Anyway, he's on this whole pro-life and anti-abortion kick, but as the story goes, he paid for the abortion of a woman back in the day, and they had a relationship, and she got pregnant, and she had an abortion. She paid for it. He paid her back. He sent her cards and notes and all kind of stuff. She even has a copy, like a photocopy of the check with his signature on it, and the Get Woke cards and all of that. And then she got pregnant by him again, and the second time she kept the baby. Now, what's interesting is what I stated first. He paid for her to have this abortion. You can't go around screaming everywhere that you're anti-abortion and pro-life when you yourself have contributed to an abortion. I'm just trying to say. Not that you can't change your mind, but that isn't what this sounds like. So his son is actually wilding online and different social media outlets because he is taking up for his mother and he's taking up for himself. And he's just saying, he's like, it's a lie. It's just a lie. So I don't really understand why the Republican Party is backing this individual. And I've never been one to vote for somebody just because they're black. Herschel Walker, again, I do not know if the elevator goes all the way to the top. I don't know. I know the knives are not sharp in the drawer. I'm going to tell you that right now. He's never been much of a scholar, philanthropist, theologian, or politician even. He played football. Not trying to sound disrespectful, but he played football. He ain't run for nothing. I don't think he was even PTA president. The only thing Herschel Walker should be trying to run for now is maybe football coach of a junior football team. But I would not advocate for him to be running for any level of office connected with the United States government I'm so serious. Something's not right. And I feel like it's a trick. Because how do you have white politicians, wealthy, some of them were lawyers, whatever, la, 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 la. Some of them are already in the government, and y'all are backing Herschel Walker. Why? And no one's asking this question. Why are y'all backing him? I don't understand it. I don't even know what his campaign promises are for how he'll make something better for wherever he's trying to run at. I don't understand. I don't understand. Herschel Walker should not be running for senator. Herschel Walker, Mehmet Oz, there's a whole bunch of them that just need to go somewhere and just sit down. But I think it's a trick that the white Republican right wing is backing this particular individual. You know how some people you could look at and you could tell they're not that smart? Not trying to be mean or anything, but some people you could look at and be like, okay, I don't think there's a lot of intellect there. That's always how I felt when I looked at Herschel Walker. Even when he was playing football, I was like, that's about all he's going to be able to do. And that's okay. But I didn't see a heart surgeon bursting out, you know, or he's going to do great things later. I never really got that. He's no Michael Strahan. I'll just say that. So, yeah, y'all, there's a lot going on in the world today. Oh, there's so much happening. But you know, let's stay tuned and see what happens in Bedrock. I don't understand it. Somebody needs to, y'all can text me if you wanna. Somebody got to tell me, why is the Republican Party backing Herschel Walker? Somebody needs to tell me that. Bubba done had one headbutt too many. We know this already. Even from how he speaks, we can tell he's not full of vernacular and he's not the most loquacious individual. Doesn't have the best handle on the English language. Yep, trying to put him up against Mitch McConnell. I don't understand. I don't see it. I don't see it. Does he play golf? Does he play golf with Trump? Is that what it is? And he lets him win, probably. I need a connection. I don't have it. I've been looking for one this whole time. When they first said, Herschel Walker wants to run for Senate. I said, what? I'm still like, okay, but now with all this mess out and the Republicans are, oh, he's a great guy. I don't know. Makes me a little nervous. He makes me nervous. Kevin McCarthy makes me nervous. That one has a horrible memory. Doesn't seem to remember anything he says. Be saying stuff, and then all of a sudden, like, I didn't say, we heard you. Your lips were moving. We saw the whole thing. Now you didn't say it. Really? So, same thing. Maybe they like Herschel Walker because he's trying to be a good liar. He just wants you to believe what he has to say, and that's it. In the meantime, his grown son is going off. I don't know if the son is gay or not. He may just be effeminate. I can't really tell. But his rant is very, very real, and he's reading Herschel. I don't mean to bash Herschel Walker. I really, really don't. But he seems like the type of child that probably took a long time to spell his first name. You know, when he was in grade school and they're like, okay, you guys spell your name. What's your name? I think he had a hard time with Herschel. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to be. There's just something not right. And I know y'all know it. But anyway, time flies when you're having a good time. Thank you all for being with me tonight. I got a few of y'all in the queue, 708-475-518-866-973-307-862-766. All y'all, love y'all. Thank you so much for being with me. Thank you for celebrating my 100th episode. 100! Hey! 100! Okay, sorry. I'm excited. I just think that, wow, 100 episodes. I'm proud of myself. I'm grateful to Dr. Wimborne and to Reverend Ron Robinson for continuing to have this network and this platform. And to everybody within the sound of my voice, thank you. I love you. I think you're amazing and fantastic. Be the best you that you can be. Please protect the babies and watch out for the elderly. Let's love each other. Let's take care of each other, family. All right? And just be the best you can be. Have a beautiful week ahead. Thank you for my my co-anchor's participation in Hubbylish. Thank you. He made me laugh. But thank you, everybody. I thank you all so much, and I thank you for being listeners and supporters of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am Black Alice, Queen Amina. Thank you so much again, family. Have a beautiful, blessed week ahead. Stay fantastic. Happy birthday to the Libras. And y'all just be good. Be good, all right? God is willing. I'll be back next Moon Day. Same Nubian time, same Nubian channel, the Neo Nation Network. All right, one love, family. Thank you so much. Peace, peace, peace. Love and light. One love, family. Peace.